it is World War III. It's just a, it's not highly kinetic with nuclear weapons type thing. But the things that you see in Panama and Ukraine and in Taiwan, they're all related to this. This is not separate. This is not separate or
That's
separable in any way. This is the same war. The food issues that we're having, the drugs that are being poured all over the streets, the weaponized migration, the invasion, it's all the same thing. It's the same war.
right. Just a quick break from the program to share with you a company called Nimi. It's Nimi Skincare, and this is a product that I've really come to love. I like the fact that it is clean, there's no harsh ingredients, and it doesn't smell really strong. I don't like fragrances in my stuff because it's actually not really good for your skin. But people are always asking me, I can't tell you, I get a ton of people ask me what I use. You gotta use something that's really clean as a foundation, without harsh chemicals. I love the fact that they're made in the United States and that they have the same values I do while they're still one of the best skincare companies out there and they use the best ingredients that are the most effective. And that's what you wanna look for. And they also, if you use my code Sarah, go to nimiskincare.com/Sarah. Use my code Sarah. You will save 10%. And you can also save an additional 15% if you do a subscription, an additional 5% if you bundle. And you can stack all those discounts together. And if you're interested in what products work best for you, there's also a skincare quiz. So you can do that. And if you're a man, don't be afraid to use it yourself or give it as a gift to those in your life that you love. Okay, nimiskincare.com/Sarah. Remember the coupon code Sarah to save 10% and save even more by doing a subscription. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Michael Yan coming back to the program. He's one of the top war correspondents out there. And if you're not following him, you should. I'll have his Substack here up on the screen and also the link below, Michael Yan at Substack. He is providing amazing analysis and up-to-date analysis on what's going on the flashpoints around the world. He lately has been covering Israel and Iran, and people know that the bombing in Israel and Iran. I ask him, is this World War III? And he says, this is World War III. I mean, this is what we're seeing. And the war has already gotten past. So, he explains that once a war starts, it takes a life of its own. And we're past that point now where it's taking a life of its own. It's because all these people, all this emotion and the power grabs and it's on its own now. It's been unleashed and it's going to start being unpredictable about where it's going. I ask him, I say, I want to see if he agreed with me. It's based on the global economic reset and where, they see weakness right now in the economy and they're all grabbing power. And he says it's 100% that. And I mean, we're going to see escalating power struggles because that's what's going on in the background. But we're going to talk about Israel very straightforward. And how it's weakened their position, how it weakens us, and whether Israel can even withstand this situation. And the United States will probably get involved. And maybe you don't agree with us. I would like to hear in the comments below, get involved in this conversation. Be polite, be respectful, but talk about in an intelligent way. Be intelligent here on what you think strategically is going to happen and get involved in this conversation. We don't need people ripping each other apart and saying all these negative things. What we need is thoughtful conversation on what's going on so people can understand. And that's the kind of comments that is welcome, that we all need to hear and partake in. So before I get into that, I want to share this collagen peptide. This is amazing stuff. Everybody over 50, everybody, as you start losing collagen, you really need to replenish your collagen as you age. It helps our bones, it helps our joints, it helps our teeth, and it helps our skin, and it helps our hair and our nails. We need this as we age. And as we age, that's why you see, the wrinkly skin. You can see it in people. And the majority of it is because we're losing collagen. And this is something I take a collagen supplement every single day. I've been taking it for a year and I've been doing research. And this is one of the best, if not the best, collagen supplements there are out there. I'm going to have a link below to a doctor. He's a doctor of therapy, he does physical therapy. And through his years of works, he figured out seven reasons why you need to be taking collagen and the benefits of it. And I think you'll agree that as you read through this, when it, even like when it comes to bone health, how collagen is a bigger deal than calcium. And a lot of people are taking more calcium than they really need. And it's really the collagen that you need to be taking. So I invite you to click on the link below and learn more about it and what those seven reasons are. And if you are interested in trying this peptide formula where you get the two types of collagens you really need, go to getnativepath.com/Sarah and you will save 45%. That's getnativepath.com/Sarah and you can save 45%. Okay, let's get into this really good conversation. You know, it's timely, and he's one of the best thinkers in this. And I got to have him on more often with Michael Yon. Hi, Michael. Welcome back to the program.
Well, hello from Texas. I'm near San Antonio, you know, the Alamo thing.
I was there just yesterday.
At the
So
Alamo?
we got, well, in San Antonio area. So we just passed, crossed paths. I'm going to be there again over the weekend, but the culture down in Texas is so much different than the culture in Minnesota. And I got to tell you, I think it's friendlier. People are just so much friendlier. And I would welcome anybody who thinks Minnesota nice, go to Texas. All these Minnesotans should go to Texas and learn what it means to be nice.
Yeah, it's very, the South generally is very friendly. Generally,
Very friendly. It's
yeah.
an
I've been all over the
eye-opener.
United States. This is one of the friendliest states by far.
By far, it's incredible. Okay, there's been bombing going on. I just didn't think Israel was going to get bombed. You know, I just didn't see that coming. And I just interviewed an Iranian freedom fighter, and then I didn't air it. And then he went dark. And all of a sudden, Iran and Israel, just the day after I interviewed him, this war started. And I thought about you and I said, I need to talk to you on what's really going on. On the ground, what do you see this? I mean, is this going to turn into World War III? I mean, what are we looking at?
It is. I mean, it's part, it is World War III. It's just a, you know, it's not highly kinetic with nuclear weapons type thing. But the things that you see in Panama and Ukraine and in Taiwan, they're all related to this. This is not separate. This is not separate
That's
or
right.
separable in any way. This is the same war. The food issues that we're having, the drugs that are being poured all over the streets, the weaponized migration, the invasion, it's all the same thing. It's the same war, right? And it's actually quite clear when, for those who study it, which is what I and Misako Gnaha and others do 7 days a week. And for instance, the SCO, most people have never heard of the SCO, which is the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. That's the other NATO, that's the enemy NATO, right? And even a lot of military officers, weirdly, haven't heard of SCO, which is quite interesting. I mean, that's like, so Iran is a member of SCO, as is Russia, as is China and Pakistan and India, too, actually. Pakistan and India, you know, at war with each other, but they're also members of SCO. And there's nine major member states, right? But those are the key ones now that we're talking about are Iran, Russia, China, Pakistan, India, and you know, the official languages of SCO are Russia and Mandarin, right?
And do you think this is all tied to the BRICS and the economic reset?
I don't think it is. It's 100%.
Okay,
It's like this, like,
exactly. Thank you.
do you
Yes.
think those clouds are related to the rain? You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean that's straight up. I mean that's like, yeah.
Well,
I mean,
they sense weakness. They know the system's changing over, and this is the time to grab power. I mean, that's just bottom line.
yeah, and it's global. Keep in mind, it didn't just start yesterday. None of this did. None of this started in our lifetimes or in the lifetimes of anybody that we know who's alive or our grandparents. It all started before that, way before that. I mean, and you can, you know, I study history voraciously, and you can see this is just the latest bloom, right, of things that are globalist oligarchs fighting each other, which never ends. But now the main energy systems now our Chinese Communist Party. Russia obviously has a lot. There's many systems, actually. There's Middle Eastern countries like Saudi Arabia who has a lot of influence, right? There's a lot of influencers. So it's not like it's just one or two. It's many, right? And they form their own alliances and enemies and frenemies and that sort of thing. And one of the big oligarchical systems is Zionist, right? But underneath the Zionist are subsets as well, and they fight each other. Just like you can't say Catholic. Catholic's like, I mean, that's a universe. That's a whole galaxy, let's say. There's Catholics that fight each other. There's communist Catholics. There's conservative Catholics. I mean,
Or
it's
Christians, that's
the
even
same
more
with the
so,
Zionists.
yeah.
So we can't say Zionist with a. It's diff any of these, even Chinese. You can't just say Chinese. There's
That's right.
Chinese that are 100% on our side, and I'm 100% on their side. And
That's
then
right.
there's the Chinese Communist Party. That's our deadly enemy. I mean, that's a straight up hardcore enemy. But Chinese that are from Taiwan and that sort of, well, actually Taiwanese. If you call them Chinese, they will quickly correct you very politely because the Taiwanese are polite like Texans, and they are. They're very, very nice people. But they'll correct you on that if you call them Chinese, because they're like, we're not Chinese, we're Taiwanese, right? But anyway, not to go into that. But the getting down to this, you saw the transportation minister in Israel just blocked travel for most people to leave Israel. There, you can see it. I put it on my Substack earlier today.
Wow, so they can't leave the country? Because I know I got tipped off in the morning when the first bombing happened. The planes weren't allowed into Tel Aviv. They were turning everybody away.
Well, that would be wise. I mean, hypersonic missiles are not a good mix with 747s, especially because those things are pretty accurate. Those missiles are quite accurate. Those hypersonics, the Iron Dome is not working against the hypersonics. Just like the in over in Ukraine, when Russia started wheeling out the hypersonics, they're going right through the defenses in Ukraine and hitting our Patriot missile batteries, and that so they're very accurate.
Why are they able to get past the system? Do you
They're
know?
just too fast for it. I don't know all the
Okay.
details and the mathematics and how the,
So you
you would
think
have
they're too
to talk
fast?
with actual experts on the radar and the responses.
Sure. Nope.
But the bottom line is the shield ain't working. I mean, if we just skip to that part, the missiles are too fast and they're getting through. And so that's it. And so now a question is, now I see people doing like tabletop analysis, but they have no idea what's going on. For instance, I saw I'm on this chat group this morning where some really major players are saying, well, Iran will soon run out of missiles. I'm like, do you know what SCO is, right? Chinese airplanes are landing in Iran right now. It's not like they're going to run out when they got Russia and China helping them tightly, because remember that oil and other reasons to be associated with Iran are very important to China. China doesn't want to see Iran shut down
Yeah,
at all.
they're a hub of resources. They're
They
like the central. Yeah, so what did they say? Did they realize? I mean, is there delusion on this side of realizing how powerful Iran really is with its backers?
very a lot a great deal of delusion. And you can always tell if you should listen to what somebody says next. If I say Israel can be destroyed, and they get very emotional about it, the rest of their analysis can't be trusted. It just can't. Because, the fact is, it can be destroyed. I said the same thing about Ukraine before the first shots were fired. This will probably turn out badly for Ukraine. I said it 1,000 times on interviews and in writing, and here it is. Ukraine was getting smashed hard last night. And there was a big fire by the airport, and people were sending me stuff from Ukraine. It's on. I mean, the Ukraine defenses are crumbling and have really they're devastated, and this easily can happen to. Keep in mind, how long ago did the war in Ukraine start? And the biggest battles are unfolding now, right? And when I was in the Iraq War, the highest casualties that we took were 4 years into the war, right? So these things take time to percolate. World War I, World War II, the biggest casualties don't happen on day one or even in year one. That takes a while for everybody to get spun up and geared up, all the The OODA loops are quite big if you're looking at the country scale and national scale, right? It can take a while for people to get spun up and get oriented, get everything in place. There's a lot of people now that clearly sense weakness from Israel, which will cause a couple things. One is it'll cause allies to drop them, not allies, but people that, are the fair weather allies, check the
Yes,
wind.
yeah.
Ones who check the wind will check the wind with whoever they think has that momentum. So that'll cause those to change sides. We saw this in Iraq and Afghanistan. The wars kicked off, and then within a year or two, people started to flood in from foreign countries. But it wasn't like the first month. Yeah, there are some people that show up in the first month, but that's just a trickle. It takes a while for the ant lines to form, and everybody goes, hey, these are the ways to get into Israel, right? These are the ways to, it takes time, right? And what I'm getting to is the people think that this is just suddenly going to be over. You got, when wars are born, you have these shooting matches that go back and forth, like we just had with India, and it looked like that was going to be a war that was about to be born, right? In other words, once the war is born and it's got its own heartbeat, like the war suddenly is its own life form, it no longer is in anybody's control, right? I mean, there's too many players. It's like a parking lot fight on a national scale. When one guy is pulling one guy off and another guy hits him, and it just gets it's a melee, right? And we're getting to that stage with this one.
Well, and wouldn't you say that the steps preceding this, I mean, with Gaza, I mean, they created everything you do can boomerang back on you. And so you can't just be stupid in how you go about doing things and ruthless because you're not as strong as you think you are. And that's, I think, what they're learning right now is that Israel does have weakness. And so them just, they needed to think through a little bit what they were doing. And I think they created a lot of enemies.
Huge. I mean, the protests that are going on right now, well, actually yesterday
I know.
in Netherlands were massive, massive.
And they underestimated that. Like
I put it
we
on Substack, actually. I put a video of a protest in Netherlands. It was absolutely massive. Yeah.
and our media doesn't tell people that, do they?
No. One of the private chats I was on today, one of the guy said, if you want to really know what's going on in Israel, you got to follow Fox and Newsmax. You can't make up this stuff. This is a high-level guy, right? You know what I mean? This is like, hello. It's like, you
It's
can't make up this stuff.
so bad. I know because I listen and they just ignore so many things. Now I saw some pictures out of Israel and the caption was Israel looks like Gaza. That's what they said. And I don't think it's quite to that level, but in certain nape pockets, it was pretty hammered.
It was, and it you can see that. It's funny. An intel friend sent me something yesterday. Israel said, they took out these jets on the ground, these F-14s in Iran, which they did, I think, take them out. But the because they provided the video, but those aircraft have been parked there without moving for a long time, a couple of years or something. They're
So it wasn't a
mothball
big
aircraft.
deal. It
Yeah, they're
was a
just like.
propaganda thing, probably.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just wasting ammo, basically. But at the end of the day, well, unless getting the video was cool, but otherwise, it's just wasted ammo. At the end of the day, this is far from over. Iran is huge. It's filled with mountains. It's extremely difficult to look how long we were in Iraq. And keep in mind, the highest casualties of the Iraq War, I was there when it happened. It was August of 20, 2000, it was August of 2007. So the war had been going for 4 years. And the highest casualties per month in the war, we were 4 years into it, right? This is absolutely normal in war. So again, what we're looking at now. Now is just playing footsie, right? I mean, you saw this a ship apparently collided into another ship in Hormuz. I just before we came on, just 4 minutes or 5 minutes before we came on, I checked maritime tracker. I see ships are moving through Strait of Hormuz right now. It's not closed. Like their beacons were like, 2 minutes ago, and they're moving at, 10 knots or whatever. They're going through the Strait of Hormuz right now. So it's not like the place is closed. That's not true. I've seen people saying it's closed. But it could be. And two ships just collided with each other. One of them's on fire right now. And so I don't know if you've seen that video, but I don't know if the video is public, but I would imagine it is.
I haven't, but there's going to be more and more of those kind of reports coming out with more and more bombings. Do you think there's any way Iran will stop before Israel is totally destroyed? I mean, is that their goal?
I mean, why would they at this point? I mean, at this point, right? Because they both have
Why
said
I said
they're
it,
going to
yeah.
obliterate. And one thing that people often make the statement that we are the great Satan, right? And that Israel is the
They really
great
believe
Satan.
that, yeah.
Yeah. But then keep in mind, if you look at Paul Harvey, what he said in 1965, if I were the devil, that's a very an interesting thing. The people who haven't seen Paul Harvey's 1965 talk, if I were the devil, I would basically flood the streets with alcohol and drugs and well, it's a checklist of what we are now, right? And that was, if you look on our streets or go to Canada, Misako and I went to Canada, and they're actually, the Canadian government's handing out drugs like openly. Like
I
we
know,
went
isn't
inside,
that
they kicked
crazy?
us out of a facility. I mean that, and I mean, and they've got the MAID program, MAID, medical assistance in dying. You can literally go into a hospital or a medical MAID clinic in the morning and be put to death that day, right? And I'm not exaggerating.
I know
This
you're
is
not.
real.
I covered
I
it.
mean, it sounds like, imagine saying that 2 years ago, even with all this stuff, that would sound crazy. But if you said that 10 or 20 or 30 years ago, it'd be like, that's science fiction, crazy, hokey pokey. It's real. It's real right now. MAID, medical assistance in dying. If you can go to their website right now and fill out the form if you want to die.
And
I'm
it's
dead
based
serious. You
on
can do it.
it, but it's based on if you're poor, if you're depressed, if you're, I mean, all these things that it's so wrong to do to somebody's poor and depressed. You don't help them kill themselves.
Go in
You.
for a bad knee and have yourself put down like people put down, sick dogs.
That's right. It's
It's
a fourth, it's the fourth leading cause of death right now.
made.
Yes, that's what I read. Maybe it's people on for young people. Yeah, well, because it can't be the number one because death is old age. But for people under a certain age group, it's the fourth largest, I think.
I was on their website last night, and they said they did a temporary hold for putting people down for psychiatric reasons or whatever until 2027. But you know how they go. They'll put that up because people are in upset, but when a crazy person comes in, they want to kill. You know how they'll roll.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
everything is duplicitous. But the fact that they're even doing that at all. So anyway, when we go to San Francisco or we go to Portland, when we went to Portland, Misako and I, there was an agency handing out needles and the rubber bands and stuff for your arm and the things to burn your drugs in. They were handing those out for free. We got some, right? And they were like boxes of needles, and you can see needles all over the ground where people are using drugs. People stooped over it, you know how they do, like we saw in Los Angeles and Atlanta and so many. And that our government is directly involved in that, directly. Like even Trump was pushing doing the cannabis in Florida, right? Article 3, which DeSantis fought against. But and you see people like Doper Joe Rogan and Rocket Boy smoking dope in front of tens of millions of young people. And people are like, yeah, it's just freedom. I mean, that's high level stupidity right there to think that that's just freedom. That is actually an act of war. They're modeling getting our people drugged up so that they can dumb us down and kill us. And they don't even hide it. They say it. And yet they still don't. So what I'm saying is when Iran calls us the great Satan, I see Americans and Canadians calling Canadians and Americans great Satan all the time. I mean, like daily, look at the things that our governments are doing. It's great Satan stuff, right? I mean, the LGBT, we're changing boys into
I
girls and
know.
girls into meat products. I mean, this is actually as sick as it gets. But meanwhile, we'll look at Iran and say, well, they want to change their regime, so let's go help. It's not about changing their regime. Nobody cares about their regime. It's about routes and resources. It's about power.
That's right.
This is
It's
about
purely
power.
power. It's the control of the global economic system. Period.
That's all it is. Total power. And in the MAID system and all these things, you know what they're doing with the MAID. With the MAID system, the medical assistance in dying, they're getting people used to it. That now they've got a website. You can look it up right now. While we're talking, you can look up MAID and you can see, you can start filling out the form if you want to die. Literally, right? And so they're making it normalized. So when they start doing this in massive numbers, it'll be normal that there's like a MAID clinic. You can, people go in there, have a coffee across the street, go in there and never come out. And go to wherever ashes land or something, right? I mean, they're making this normal. And it already is normal in
Well, what
Canada.
do you think about this immigration? We just had huge protests, anti-immigration. I know people who are, through the grapevine, people who are immigrants who just think they deserve, to be here, but they're not really Americans, and they're not in culture. They don't support America. Or, and then the other idea is you bring in, you import third world cultures, you're going to create a third world culture. And I know this sounds bad, but guys, we have to, that's why you do it in a, you do certain percentages so they can
We
assimilate. You
don't
don't
need it at
take,
all. Let's close the borders.
well,
We have
but my
enough.
point is that when you bring in any new culture, you have to do it in a small, they know that a certain percentage is all you can assimilate at any one time before it messes up the host culture.
We should only be bringing in the people that benefit us, right? That's it. That's it. We got to be realistic about this. It's this weakness and this bleeding heart stuff that is the path to hell, literally the path to hell. And people like Hias, Catholic Charities, Lutheran Services, good Lord, long list. Obviously, United Nations that are all bringing these people in, right? And then, of course, as soon as you say, no, don't do this, they say you're a racist. The best way to treat people when they say that you're a racist is never defend yourself. Go total offense. Total offense. You're a predator. You're filth. You're not welcome here. You know what I mean? Just total offense. Don't defend yourself. Defend through offense. That's how they beat everybody. If you say we should not be going to war, World War III, in support of Israel, they'll say you're anti-Semite, and I say you can go to hell, right?
Okay, well,
Seriously.
let's talk about this because
Yes.
what does it mean to go to war in protection against Israel? I mean, what does this mean? I mean, because Israel stepped in a lot of holes. I don't like how they're managing themselves, but what does it mean not to ally with them and actually protect? I mean, we're in bed with people who are behaving in ways we don't want them to behave, but we're kind of screwed based on what strategically who they are. So what do we do?
Well, first of all, they need to fight their own battles. We should not be joined up with anybody who's doing genocide. I mean, that's on us, right?
Thank you.
If your
Yes.
ally is doing genocide and you are if you are supplying the weapons that they are doing genocide with, you are committing genocide.
That's right.
Period, right? We are part and parcel to the genocide of Gaza. Clear. It's obvious. Now people go, that's not genocide. Those people can't be trusted. That's either a direct lie because they know it's genocide and they're lying, or they're just amazingly stupid.
Well, I had some people on the rails listening to the radio, and they said, if there's 10, even 10 innocent people, we shouldn't be doing this. This is a, mainstream conservative radio. There's even 10 people, we shouldn't be doing this. Is there 10 innocent people in Gaza? And they both said, no, even the children are guilty because they're being taught to hate.
Right.
That's genocide.
Yeah, okay, and they blew up the old Christian church there and everything else, right? They're killing Christians and look, October 7th was clearly orchestrated by Israel. Clearly. Again, that's one of those inarguable, like the evidence is stacked to the ceiling,
It's
right?
obvious for anybody who pays
And it's
attention.
like they killed their own people for casus belli. These are demons. That really is the great Satan. Why would we be allied with somebody who shot up the USS Liberty killed 34 of our people, never were held responsible for it. And as soon as you call that out, because that's inarguable as well, you're an anti-Semite, they say. Okay, again, magic wand is broken. The whole, I'm going to wave the magic wand and say you're anti-Semite and everybody freezes. No, here's your magic wand. Snap, boom, gone.
You
We're
have to use
done
your
with it.
brain. Okay, now,
I
but
used
let's.
to be a big supporter of Israel, by the way. Those days are over,
Well,
right?
good. Well, because it's true. But now let's get to the argument of rational people, because I don't want, if someone calls me anti-Semite because I'm looking at the genocide is total BS. But looks like at the rational, are they a strategic ally because of the power situation and that we need them for any kind of strategic reason that will really hose us if we're not don't have a presence there?
What would
That's the
that
only thing
reason
that I'm
be?
wondering. Go ahead.
What would that reason be? What would that reason be?
That's what I'm asking you. I mean, that's what, you know, I had Rudy Giuliani on my program. He yelled at me for like 10 minutes because I said I don't like the killing. And he just called me and he yelled at me. But I said, okay, well,
He
what is
interviewed me
the
recently, but didn't air it.
Well, good. Okay. Well, anyway, we should have aired it actually. But he, I said, okay, well, let's get into the nuances here. Why are they a strategic ally of us? Because, you know, I
Why?
don't like the
I
killing.
want
I
to know
never,
why.
but what, and he said, because of where they're, and that's what I want to know, because of where they're located, it's an important route from trading and from a position in the Middle East. But couldn't we have other allies that don't act like that? I mean, they put us at risk by behaving like this.
Yeah, here's the situation. That is a strategic location. The Suez Canal is there. There's
Yeah.
energy off Gaza. The Ben Gurion Canal that they would like to build will go right through Gaza, right? The Indo-European corridor would go right through Gaza, right? I mean, so yeah, absolutely, right? There is no question that that's very strategic ground. There's no question about it. But does that mean we need, in Japanese, what they call a sagimon, which is called a bad luck girlfriend, right? You have this girlfriend and everything goes bad because she's always, you know, it's funny because that's actually a word in Japanese. It's bad luck girlfriend, sagimon, right? And it's funny because this morning, Matt Bracken, the author Matt Bracken, he happened to send me something like Israel's basically like, what did he say? Like a crazy girlfriend, a drunk girlfriend who's picking fights always with the biggest guy she can see so that you'll fight for it, right? That's what Israel does. You look, I put it on Substack earlier today, a video that you know you can see Netanyahu talking over the years since he was a young man, how we've got to do this or this is the end of the world. It's always the same thing. It's the same statements over and over and over. It's the exact same statements. We got to go get Afghanistan. We got to go get
Yep.
Iraq. We got to go get all these places, right? It's bleeding America down. Israel is bleeding, not Israel, Zionist, and not all Zionists, but some
That's right.
subset of
Yep.
Zionists is clearly bleeding America down. Of course, you know, Giuliani's in that camp with them, of course, right? At the end of the day, there are like the fight that's going on now in Panama, right? By the way, a bunch of Panamanians just got put on the no visa list to the United States. I just put that on Substack this morning, including three former presidents. So this is
Wow.
actually for them, it's a big deal, actually. At the end of the day, these routes and resources. Panama Canal is obviously incredibly important.
That's right.
That's actually a fight largely between Zionists and China. I know that because I'm down there all the time watching it and I'm with the key people, right? I mean, it's like clearly. If you go down to Argentina, the same thing is shaping up. I just spent a couple months down there. You go over to obviously the things that are happening in the Middle East right now or Ukraine, it's all the same. This is all the same war. You know, all these
Well,
things are the
so let's
same
get
battle.
just a short break from the program to share with you an amazing peptide to help you lose weight. It's stronger than Ozempic, and why? It's because it not only reduces your appetite, but it also burns fat. These other GLP-1s on the market, they do not burn fat, they just reduce your appetite. This one, retatrutide, is stronger. It's considered a next generation peptide because of that. And man, does this work. I've been using it for 2.5 weeks, and I've already lost 11 pounds. And I cut my dose in half because I was losing weight too quickly. And that kind of freaked me out, to be honest. And so I also am taking this 5-amino 1MQ in capsule form. This helps by making sure that you lose fat, not muscle. And so in conjunction, I'm using both of these. This will work whether you have this or not. And I am telling you, it's amazing. If you are interested in getting this, I have the link below, or you can go to sarahwestall.com under shop. You can use the coupon code Sarah to save 10%. If you have questions about your own use, you should either consult your doctor or you can join Dr. Diane's tribe. And I have a link below to that. It is only a dollar for the first week. You can ask her any question you want and get all your answers to this, how to take an injectable. And there shouldn't be any fear in doing that. It is easy and straightforward. Go to sarahwestall.com under shop or use the link below. And remember to use coupon code Sarah. So let's get back a little bit to what Giuliani was saying. Is it worth, I mean, we got this bad girlfriend, as you say it, who's getting into all these fights, causing us to get beat up. Is it, if we lose that strategic placement, does that put us at a point where we're too weak to defend ourselves, or is it something we can let go? I mean, because that's the difference. I mean, I would assume he's not so dumb that he doesn't see the genocide, but he cares about the strategic positioning, and all these guys cared about the strategic positioning over everything else. So is that important?
Oh, yeah.
So it's worth fighting.
No. Hold on. I'm not saying
that's what I want to try. That's what I'm trying to get at. You know what I mean?
But the strategic ground is absolutely vital. However, the Suez Canal is open under Egypt, right? It's open. It's been flowing until the war started and the Houthis closed the Bab al-Mandeb, right? I mean, which basically closed a lot of the traffic through Suez, right? We could be put into famine instantly, by the way. By the way, so let's just say Israel does end up taking the Suez, right? And which could happen would be the U.S. doing it, obviously. Israel can't do it, but they could, you know, use their Mossad to set up, 1,000 more Epstein Islands and keep our government captured forever. I mean, they're basically ant fungus that makes the ants do the work and die for them, right? And so, that's just the cultural firmware, right? But now, if whoever controls that region, if you controlled the Suez Canal, the Bab al-Mandeb, which would be hard, but it could take in a couple generations, you might pull it off. And if you make the Ben-Gurion Canal and the Indo-European corridor, and if you control the Strait of Hormuz, you're going to have massive power, especially now if you extend this later over to Malacca and down to Panama. It's already going on in Panama, right? There's all kinds of different places that I'm looking at all the time. And these different oligarchical structures, like China is working hard in Asia with their BRI, right? And South America and Africa and, the Belt and Road Initiative. They're working very hard on this everywhere you look, actually, including.
Well, so that's a question. So let's say Iran defeats Israel through the coalition of Russia and China. What does that mean to our strategic positioning on a bigger level? I mean, how does that affect our commerce, our ability, our power in the world?
Who would end up taking Israel is the question. Who? Yeah, I mean, that's the question. Would it be Russian troops there? It could. It could be.
And what does that mean to us? And that's why that's the questions they're talking about behind the scenes. Do we side with this beast who isn't behaving because it means more to us? Or do we let it go? And then we're in a worse situation?
I think about this constantly. And study it constantly. And obviously, these are not easy questions, right?
I know. That's why I'm asking you.
And one thing, and it's a very good question, and it's a very cutting question. One thing that's interesting and important to keep on the table is that Israel itself is highly fractious. For instance, they just cut the traffic today, and I was just getting a message from an Orthodox Jewish man. I'm on this chat. I'm the only non-Jewish person on the chat, but they're all hardcore Orthodox, right? And I was asking them about this, and they'll see our interview, I'm sure, and they can actually they would be good people for you to interview. But the Orthodox within Israel, I mean, if they start doing a draft, that's going to be a civil war, according to them. Because the Orthodox are not going to be—they're not going to fight this fight for the Zionists. They hate the Zionists.
That's right.
In other words, There's, there's 2 million Arabs in Israel, right? There's Israel is not just a bunch of Jews all of the same denomination. And this is fractured. This is as fractured as America, right? It's and possibly more so. And so internally, it has severe problems as well, right?
Well,
Now,
like,
who's
what was it? Like, 85% of the people are against Netanyahu, and the streets have been filled with protests against him.
I used to be pro Netanyahu, actually. Now, as Israelis used to tell me all the time, this is like 20 years ago, they would argue with me because I used to travel with Israelis a lot. They'd be like, "I can't believe you like that guy." And I'm like, "I can't believe you don't." And they're like, "You don't understand him like we do." And turns out they were right. Because I used to think he was a really serious guy. Now I realize he's a really serious demon. He was a great actor.
Well,
And
he's an idiot. He caused all these problems by what he's doing.
And now what about Israel? Who would take it? I don't know, because it can't last the way it's going. It's just not got a it's not got a solid structure. It just doesn't. It's like a wooden house in a dry forest,
Well,
with
they
people
only have
shooting
like
bottle
one
rockets
ally.
around it.
They have one ally. It's us. Otherwise, the rest of the world is like, well, Israel, I'm not sure, because of their behavior.
Yeah, I mean, I this is the thing, their behavior. And again, they want to be in control of that, not like we Americans, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They want to be, they're an oligarchical structure themselves. And they use us like a vampire, right? And so there's so many oligarchical structures, and I'm not even faulting them for that. That's fair game. It's just our problem that we let them do it,
That's right.
because it's foolish for us to let them do it. It's fair game for them to give it a shot. They try the same with China. China does it with them. This is big boy rules. This is rock 'em, sock 'em. You know what I mean? But we're not socking them back,
Well, and we allowed them to do it in ways that were so bad. I suppose the blackmail system is what they all use, right? I mean, it's not any different. It's a horrible system.
It
It's what
is.
needs to go away. Yeah. So, okay. So the Panama Canal is the same powder keg, right? So we're going to see flashpoints erupting. I mean, this is the World War III, is the power structure, the global economic center. Center of the world are where all those different points. So Panama Canal's one, the Suez Canal's one. That's where we're going to see the flashpoints, right? Where else are the flashpoints in your mind besides the Panama Canal and the Suez Canal?
So many. For instance, Europe itself is unstable. Europe's gonna. I've always called Europe.
Ukraine.
I've lived in Europe for about 6 years, so I've seen it, kind of in detail. And at some point, I came to the realization that it's the white people Middle East, and it's just temporarily at peace because they were worn out, and our army was there, and they're having fun for a while. But eventually, they're going to go back to fighting each other. And that's clearly what's happening. Also, they've allowed themselves to be invaded. And that invasion is still going on. I mean, as the invasion in the United States has slowed down dramatically under Trump so far, the organizational structures that create those invasions, like United Nations, Catholic Charities, highest, just long list, they're still like, Anthony Rubin was just over there with John. Do you know Anthony Rubin? You got to have him on your show. Not that I'm your producer, but I would suggest.
No,
I would
you got to
highly
hook us
suggest
up.
Anthony Rubin is Anthony Rubin has been all over the place, all over America, and from and also through from Quito, Ecuador, through Colombia,
Yeah.
through the Darien Gap. He followed the Chinese and others all the way up. Got kidnapped in Mexico with his brother. Got released actually
Jeez.
after they smashed his gear. He went right back to Mexico. Anyway, he just got back from Africa and Europe. He's been all over the United States, knocking on doors of illegals that, invaders, and he said almost every one of them household has a new baby, right? So what I'm getting to is, well, at the end of the day, he's been studying the invasions over in Europe. And just actually, he and his brother got attacked in front of the Eiffel Tower about a month ago. It was in the news in Europe, and by African invaders, right? So what I'm getting to is our allies are that they've got cancer to the point where it's terminal. Europe is not coming out of this. This is a total sea change. It's you know, this is the sort of stuff where you see, and the new tide came in. That's what has happened. Like Ireland, you know, Irish are finally starting to stand up. Misako and I went there 3 or 4 years ago, warning about it, warning about it. Now, in my mind, if I'm accurate, I think I am, but could be wrong, but I think that Ireland has passed a demographic Rubicon. I think that they've,
The tipping point, yep.
and Luxembourg certainly has. I think Netherlands has. I think Sweden certainly has. Many, many countries have. A
Well,
few
and so
countries have held out.
it's them taking over without having to fire a bullet, really.
Yeah, they've killed a lot of people, though. I mean,
But
like
you know
they're
what I mean. They don't
killing
have to
every
fight
day.
war. They don't have to actually go to war. They just do this cultural takeover.
That's right. And it's demographic warfare, right? And it's a weaponized migration, as one socialist wrote a book about that. There's a book about this, and it's called Weaponized Migration, or Weapons of Mass Migration. Weapons of Mass Migration. It's a good book to read. It's written by a socialist, actually, and it's basically how to do it, you know? And they're doing it. And a lot of these things, I just found a bunch of books on, I read a lot of old books, and I found a bunch of books recently online, which I've ordered them, and they're on the way, about how to depopulate rural areas and other areas. And these are books from the 1800s and early 1900s, right? So
Wow.
by the time we're born, a lot of us think, hey, this is new, it was Obama or something. I don't know. Obama's just another fruit on the tree. He's on the scale of things, he's just a fly that hit your windshield on the scale of things, right? You know, for that time it was significant, but if not him, it would have been somebody else because it's the organizational structure, right? The
Yep.
organization. So when we look at him and go, it was Obama, you're wrong. It's the organizational structure. That's what we have to take down, is the organizational structure. Otherwise, it'll just grow. It's like the tree. You have to take the tree down. The fruit's going to keep coming off the tree. You're like, hey, here's, I got hit with another apple in the head. These apples, you know, while you're leaning against the tree, basically. You know, so,
That's
you know.
right. You have to look at the overall structure, but that's why I was talking about the flashpoints, because they want to control those veins, those arteries. And if they can control all those arteries, then they can control the output. And so
If
those
I
are
were the devil,
major, huh?
if I were the devil and I wanted
Yeah.
to create famines, right? And this is how I was able to successfully predict Nord Stream and groaning enclosures and other issues, long list that I've successfully predicted. Very accurate, very few misses. I would interrupt Hormuz. I would interrupt Suez. I would, it could be indirect, of course. I would
Sure.
interrupt Panama Canal and Strait of Malacca. I would, first of all, I would cut these more of the gas lines. I would cut the inter I would slow the energy down as much as I could, oil and whatnot. And Strait of Hormuz, if that is closed, if that becomes closed, that will be devastating to people like Japan. That would be they've released some of their strategic rice supplies recently because the prices were so high in Japan. Japan has no food security. I'm there all the time. I'll probably be there in a few more days. They just have no food security at all. And China, the Strait of Hormuz will greatly affect China as well, right? It'll greatly affect Europe. It'll greatly affect a lot of people. The energy from Strait of Hormuz won't greatly affect the United States directly. But all these things will also indirectly affect us. But if I were the devil, like Paul Harvey said, I wanted to create global famines, I will have done all these things that they've been doing for years, like get rid of our coal-powered plants and blow them up, like they've done. They've actually, did you see the coal-powered plant they grew up, blew up in Oregon? Yes, it was a great plant. They shut it down, literally blew it up. And up at Groningen gas field in Netherlands, not only did they shut it off, they didn't just turn it off so you can turn it back on. They turned it off and destroyed it. You know, the filled parts, key part, it's finished, right? And so I would do all these things, but it would take years to do all these things, to set the condition, just like it took years to build the Panama Canal and the Suez Canal. These things didn't take years. They took generations, right?
Yep.
And so, I mean, so all these different routes and resources that took many generations to build, if you want to destroy it, it takes a lot of time, unless you're going to use nuclear weapons. It takes a lot of time to dismantle things. Like you see across Europe and the United States, dismantling water resource like weirs and dams and that sort of thing. So suddenly you see these floods and people are like, why do we get flood? We haven't had a flood like that. And since, they didn't realize that somebody had removed water infrastructure miles and miles from them, just quietly removed it, and the next thing you're now floating down the river, right? And so all these things take years. So you'll set these conditions, and then when you're ready to go, you'll do things like turn off the electricity. You'll do things like close the Panama Canal for a short time, not destroy it. Close the Suez, not destroy it. You don't want it to be destroyed. You just want to temporarily shut it down
And send
and
messages,
put
right?
chaos.
And create chaos and send messages of power and then force the negotiations or force
Starve
the,
people to death. You could starve
yeah.
hundreds of millions of people to death, and you would cause huge mass migrations, right? So, I mean, that would, I mean, if you cut those major trade routes like Panama, Strait of Gibraltar, I don't know if they would do that, but they could. The Turkish Straits would be more difficult. Danish Straits could probably do that. You could. Strait of Malacca, that would be easy. Of course, Bab al-Mandeb, and actually just hit the Suez and Strait of Hormuz, right? I mean, if you did that, even for a month or two, that would be absolutely devastating on a global scale, right?
That's
And
right.
that's not, that's only about seven targets, right?
So
And they're easy targets.
do you see that happening, and do you see this escalating towards something like that?
I don't escalate. Yeah, certainly. I mean, what that thing that happened at Suez, the accident in the Suez, it could have been just an organic accident. It could have been. Two ships just collided at Hormuz. One's on fire right now as we speak, right? At least one. It may be another as well. I'm not sure what the details are right there right now. But like I said, just before we came on, I checked Maritime Tracker, and traffic is going through the Strait of Hormuz right now. But if you wanted to create global chaos, cutting those and cutting off electricity in key places, oh yeah, you'd have instant famines.
And that's what they're going to
Instant
try to do, I think. So, but right now in the halls of power, they're all talking about whether we should be militarily supporting Israel. That's happening right now. Do you think that we are going to see an escalation or an increase of our support of Israel from a military standpoint? And how far are we going to go?
Oh, yeah, I do see it. I mean, it's really clear at this point. I don't think we're threatening. I think it's coming.
Yeah,
I know
that's the
the CENTCOM
conversations.
commander, by the way. I know the CENTCOM commander, Eric Carrillo. I was with him in combat for 5 months. He was in front of me when he got shot. I was taking photos of him when he got shot. I know him well, right? He's highly aggressive. He's highly competent. He's also highly behind Israel, and he pushed the jab very hard. He was a great leader in combat, but he was also a huge jab pusher, and he's like in Israel's pocket now, right? He's the CENTCOM commander. It's not a coincidence, right? And he wants to go. It's clear that Eric wants to attack Iran, and he's very influential. He's just a CENTCOM commander, but people do listen to him, and he's a brilliant guy, actually. But at the end of the day, do I think we're going to do it? Yes. And what do? Wars grow. That's one thing. Wars grow. Wars grow, and they grow unpredictably. Wars grow unpredictably, right? And they last longer than people expect, right? That's number three. They last longer than people expect. And four, often they turn out in ways that nobody expected, but they grow. Once a war has its own life, which this one appears to have now, it will grow. And then it will grow in ways that we didn't predict. Troops will be home by Christmas, which Christmas, it could be 10 years now. And again, often the biggest fighting happens years after it really begins, right?
Well, and this it really began a while ago, but let's say the dome, the Iron Dome is compromised because the supersonic missiles get through. Are they hitting the Iron Dome strategic technical bunkers so that it can't protect against other kind of weapons and troops on the ground? And I mean, are they taking out those facilities?
I don't know specifically what they're hitting other than the stuff that's been published, but they hit one of their science institutes, for instance, in Israel. But of course, we're talking about Persians and Chinese and Russians. This is three super smart groups of people. They're going to know where they need to put those missiles to
I would
cause
think,
pain.
yeah, I mean, I would think they'd take out those systems, those protective measures, so that they can go in and do other kind of warfare.
I
Because
mean,
Israel's not that big, and if that Iron Dome goes down and they can get other kind of weapons in, now we're talking Israel could be taken over pretty quickly without
oh,
protection.
yeah. Israel can be taken over. There's no question about it. A lot of people are like, no, Israel will nuke them. I'm like, you got 2 million Arabs in Israel. You've got Orthodox and other people within Israel that will never support that government, right?
Well,
You've got it's,
but that's a good question. You said they'll nuke them. They have nuclear weapons. If they say, think that their Iron Dome is compromised to the point of no return, where they can bring troops in, they can bring other weapons in, will they use a nuclear weapon?
Let me read you a message from an Orthodox Jewish friend that came in this morning. And where did
Okay,
it
that's
go?
pretty serious.
But we were talking about this actually, and it's disappeared somewhere. Anyway, he talked about what would happen if they started to draft Orthodox, for instance. And he's like, they would fight, they would rise up against Netanyahu, or and others would head for the hills. They'd be like heading off to Jordan or something, right? At the end of the day, that support base is not there, right? Not only
Okay,
is it
yeah.
not a support base, not only is it not a support base, it's opposition. And you got 2 million Arabs there, right? And you got 500,000 others, right? And keep in mind, I'm going to say it again, this is important. The Israelis are highly under attack, just like we are. That population is like, they're looking at legalizing cannabis there in Israel as well. And Israelis
They're
love to
further than
dope
we
up.
are.
They love to smoke dope, right? And they are highly drugged. They're under attack. Look at that rave party on October 7th next to Gaza. I mean, everybody's just stoned out of their mind. It's one of those drug and sex parties that they're always doing those rave things when I see them in Thailand or whatever. Or in India as they do it as well. Because I've traveled with Israelis a lot. But at the end of the day, their actual population is under attack. There are people that are running the Israeli government who are predatory, highly predatory towards Israelis, towards Jewish Israelis, right? Why are they doing that? Because remember, a lot of the Zionists, they're not Jewish. They're atheists, and
Yeah,
they
that's
hate
right.
real Jewish people, right? That's why these Orthodox people that are always telling me, like, because they're always reminding me, like, remember, when you say Zionist, please always say that Zionism does not equal Judaism. That's their one request. And I'm like, it's true. I get it. And so I want to say it again. Zionism is not Judaism. That is just an information campaign that the Zionists use as cover. I think, but I don't have evidence for this, I think the majority of Zionists are probably American Christians, but I don't know that to be true. But the Zionists who run
Are
Israel
cultists.
are like atheist cultists, right? Right. I mean, so there's Christian Zionists. There's actually Muslim Zionists. Like, I've been out with Kurds that are clearly Zionist, and I love the Kurds, but a lot of them are straight up Zionists too, right? I
Well,
mean, and they're
Zionists are a problem.
Muslim.
They're the warmongers, but that's the problem. If they feel that they're cornered and they feel like they're under attack, what won't they do? I mean, if they feel like they're going to lose their power, they're going to lose their home base, they're going to lose everything they have, and they have control of nuclear weapons, will they use it?
Oh yeah, there's nothing that a cult won't do. Zero. I mean, people in a cult will take their young babies and put a jab into them and put it on Instagram. There is zero that people in a cult won't do. And nobody ever sees the cult that they're in. They always see everybody else's cult,
That's
right?
right. They don't see the cult that they're in.
And we don't. I mean,
That's right.
I studied cults. I even infiltrated and lived with a cult. Yeah, I studied cults quite a lot. I went to India studying cults. That was some of the most educational stuff I've ever done. And it's amazing because it's very important that people study cults and understand how that we can all be pulled into cults, right? Some people are more resistant than others. Some people seem to have a high, it appears to be, I'm guessing, a kind of natural resistance. But I think a lot of it depends on what the cult is and who you are, what your already operation firmware, what your firmware is versus the firmware that's trying to come in, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and when you're in India, the people that are trying to get you to join all these different cults, they're like walking around your head, checking doors and windows. Okay, this ear's open. Crawl right through that ear. It's like a door and a window. They're like walk around your. They're like walking around seeing
But that's
which
the
part of you
automated,
is open for infection,
that's
right?
right. And that's the automated social media that we have
Yes.
with technology. Is that exactly what you're talking about?
That's why. Get everybody that you can around you as resilient as possible against information attack. A good book to read from 1956 is called Rape of the Mind by Joost Mierlo. It's a great book. But make sure when you read that book, see that brainwashing technique I just used? I said when you read that book, not if you read it. Everybody's going to read it. Read it. But when you are reading Rape of the Mind, do it in a quiet room and study it. And like no distractions, turn the phone off and all that stuff, and be quiet and study it, because you're going to realize, hey, these are the techniques they're using on me every day.
That's right.
And it can make you more resilient against it. And when you are finished with reading Rape of the Mind, I'll make some more suggestions. And these will make your immune system much higher to being hijacked. You'll be much more resilient. And the apex, let's go Sun Tzu on this. The apex of brainwashing is to detect that you're being brainwashed and brainwash your brainwasher. Yeah. That's when you've reached black belt. That's when you're like Bruce Lee, be like brainwashing water. You know what I mean? It's like, and you can,
That's
because just
powerful.
be your brainwasher who's trying to brainwash you. That's a human too. It's like a martial. It is a martial art. It's not like a martial art. Like somebody's trying to get you into a chokehold and you block it and then you reverse it and pff, they're down, right? It's like, that's the way to look at this. Don't look at this like, oh, I'm going to be a victim of brainwashing. Go, no, I'm going to figure out who's brainwashing me and I'm going to victimize him. I'm going to get him into my, I'm going to get him into my cult, and my cult includes reading Rape of the Mind so that you don't get pulled into cults. That was kind of an oxymoron, but you know what I'm saying.
That do
So we have to make our families and friends very resilient, against this,
but
because
how? Because a lot of
this
them
is
don't
big.
want, a lot of them aren't, they're just zombies watching mainstream media and deer in the headlights when you bring up some of this stuff. I mean,
Good
it's a
Lord.
struggle for all of us to get to some of these people.
Somebody told me in one of my group chats today, this is a serious people. All my chats are like serious groups of different, like scientists in this one and Orthodox Jews in that one. And it's like business leaders in this one. So the business leader one today, what I'm saying, if you want to know what's going on in Israel, you got to watch Fox and Newsmax.
That's what I mean. So how do you, I know people that, how do you get past them? Because you'll say something that's not being said on Fox News and that they're deer in the headlight. I mean, literally, they kind of zone past you and then move on to another topic. And you're like, God, didn't you just hear what I said? How profound it is that what I just told you? No, they just, I mean, that's
That's
cultish.
exactly right. They're like, in 1854, that big cholera, 1853 and 54 in London, they had a big cholera outbreak, right? And John Snow, he's the father of epidemiology. He did a map. He mapped out where all the cholera cases were and whatnot. And he started to suspect it was this one water pump. Of course, they didn't know cholera came from water back then. They didn't have any idea. But so he's like, I think it's coming from that water, which went against what everybody knew it was coming from. It was coming from the malaria, the bad air, right? And so at one point, luckily he had a lot of influence because he was like, he worked with the royal family and stuff. So they couldn't just throw him out the window and say, you're an idiot. So they had to be respectful to him. So he got them eventually to remove the pump handle on the Broad Street pump. I actually took Misako Ganaha to London and showed her this pump. I got her to read this book called, well, first she read Rape of the Mind, and because I told her I'm going to brainwash you and there's nothing you can do about it until you learn what I'm doing, and then you won't, then I can't do it anymore. And then you'll try to do it to me. And then that's how we'll get better at this. But so I had her read another book called Ghost Map, and that was about tracking down the cholera, right? In London in 1853 and 54. John Snow made this map. You should always make a map, and because the map can tell you a story instantly, right? And at some point, he's like, I think it's that pump. And so he got him to remove the pump handle. So if you know an epidemiologist, or if you are one, you know what remove the pump handle means, right? And so he got the municipal people to remove the pump handle so people couldn't use that water. And I think they put a guard on it too. And because everybody loved that water, it was the best tasting water in London, they said, catch 22. Or Murphy's Law. Well, actually a catch 22 as well, because when you get cholera, you immediately become dehydrated and then you drink more water, right? Which is, it's a waterborne, right? It's a fecal oral route. And so they removed the pump panel and boom, the cases went down, right? But that's that. I wrote a dispatch maybe 4 years ago called Remove the Pump Panel. If you're watching CNN or Fox or any of that trash, you're getting cholera, but from a different pump head. And the people that think I can watch Fox or whatever and I can figure out what is true and what's not, that's like I can get my glass of water from the pump. And I can, okay, I'm gonna drink from this side. I'm gonna know which sip to spit out and
You just don't
which
know.
sip
They're leaving out
to drink.
details. They're spinning stuff. They're telling you lies. I mean, it's not that, like, let's say I bring on somebody who also tells us lies. I mean, that's why you have to be discerning, because you don't know exactly who's feeding you crap. But you don't go to someplace who's trying to feed you crap, right?
That's right. Like they're intentionally doing it.
That's
But
right.
read Rape of the Mind. Read that and read and start studying how this is done, right? And how our cats brainwash us. Actually, that's not in any of the books, but you know how cats like they know how to make humans comply.
Well,
I
so
think
do
they are
dogs.
both, but
Well,
and
that's
dogs
it's so,
too,
and so do
but
toddlers.
especially cats. It's like, but I mean, but if you start to study these techniques, you'll start to realize you're not just, you don't have to submit. Once you know how they're doing it, it's very difficult for them to do it. It's
That's
very
right.
difficult once they know the tricks, right? Once you know
That's
the tricks.
And once you're aware of it, that it's happening to you, it's frustrating as it's happening to you, because I know it's happening to me, but it's frustrating, but it's important that you can sense it and see it.
You
Well,
see why I
where?
go against drugs so much, right? Drugs.
That's right.
Because the number one thing, the number one weapon, if I were the devil, Paul Harvey said in 1965, everybody's got to listen to that if you haven't. If I were the devil, first thing you do is get everybody drugged up and on drug and drinking on drugs, whatever, pills and all that, right? You get them on that. That is what opens
Because
the
they
door
can't
for
think.
everything else. Rape of the Mind 101 is drugs, alcohol, that sort of thing, and then you can get them, right? You've got, and Grant talked about this in 1879 when he was talking with a Chinese leader, former President Grant. He's like, pushing these drugs on people is equal to slavery on its evilness. Because you're basically, you become slaves to whatever, opium or whatever. You become a slave to that. And not only that, you're, despite what people think, they think, oh no, I can keep my mind about me, but they're a heavy drinker or they're a heavy dope smoker or whatever. Oh no, you're so easy to brainwash, you're like a child. And
Well,
the
so
thing
how
is,
about big pharma drugs? I mean,
oh yeah, look at these SSRIs. I mean, I was talking with a doctor about that last week, and he said, I mean, he talked about this in detail. I mean, how bad these things are. I think we all know that a lot of what's being prescribed should never pass your lips, right?
that's right.
I mean, it just should never. If it's got a barcode on it, you should be suspicious,
That's right. You got to be careful. So you have a Substack. Is that the best place people can follow you? Because I know you're doing reporting that is hard to find elsewhere, and people can see your reports. And is that the best place to follow you?
Substack. I mean, I do a lot of interviews, but Substack's the best place.
Yeah, because I know you're putting out things daily, and you do have some stuff behind a paywall. How much does it cost to be in your subscriber?
Actually, there's free subscriptions too, but the paywall, it's like $8 a month. So, it's like, One cup of coffee a month, as they say, right?
Yeah, one cup of coffee a month to hear some really good reports on what's going on. You're one of the world's best war correspondents, and so in this time of war, you're someone to follow.
You
So I got to
know,
have you back.
one thing is important. Big money people who follow my work, like successful prediction of Nord Stream. If you're a big money person and you're following my work, you could have literally made billions of dollars on betting on that. Billions, right? Betting on Groningen being closed, which I successfully called billions. Or the screw worms coming back, at least high millions or hundreds of millions, right? These things, these predictions, and if I were wrong, what would you lose? Probably nothing at all.
$8 a month.
Yeah, you'd lose 8 months. I mean,
No,
the
nothing. Yeah,
you
you're
know,
right.
yeah, actually, actually, what I need to do is start, anyway, there's certain things that I can't publish everything because it's just too much. You
That's
know what I mean?
right. Yeah, I
It's
do
like
know.
catching the rain with this cup,
I
it's
know.
like,
I know.
but there's a lot of other things that are going on that actually are worth a lot of money if you take it seriously. Like the fact that I'm like, Ukraine probably won't survive this. I mean, if you just go with my bets, where am I putting my cards, right? There's a high chance Israel will not survive this. Very high chance. Despite how emotional people get when you
That's
say that,
right. That's
throw
right.
them out the window because if they're getting emotional about it when they can't be trusted. The fact is that the table is set. It's all about conditions.
Well,
It's all
Israel went too far this time. That's the
they have.
problem. They
Will
went
they
too far.
be destroyed? I don't know. Can they be destroyed? 100%. And will they? I would say that's where I'd put my cards. That's what I think. I think that they'll probably not, that they won't make it through this. But that'll take years. It could take 5 or 10, 15 years. I don't know. But the die is cast, and you can clearly see that the energy is going out of that system. For instance, people like me who used to strongly support Israel went to neutral some years ago. And then when they started pushing the jab and Americans had to get it, and then I'm seeing how drugged up they were, and I'm like, I'm not going to support that because I know eventually the country dies anyway, right? The country, it's going to die anyway. Why would I put any of my energy into something that's clearly just going to die of its own? It's committing suicide, right?
Well, and we are too. I mean, when you look at
Absolutely.
the young people, they're not taking it seriously. They're all wanting to be influencers and things. They're not taking school seriously. And we are valuing degrees that can't do anything. We should be focusing on STEM degrees. We should be focusing on things that can help us, areas of study that can help us grow and become better and compete on the world stage. And we're not doing that with our young people.
Actually, I'm in the studio of some young people here in Texas called the Centurions. They're about to start their podcast, and they are very serious. And I've got them reading a book, wherever it's at, called,
We need more of them.
yeah, exactly. And it's called Path Between the Seas. I said, before I take you to Panama, you got to read this book because I don't want to just show up to the canal and you've heard of it before, but I want you to understand when I get you in the helicopter, when I get you in the boat going through the canal, and we're going to all these different places. I want you to have put a solid month of study into this, right? And so I'm actually in there. You want to see it? They haven't
Yeah.
started. This is their studio. This is see how the
Wow,
microphones
they
are.
got a nice studio.
Yeah, here's my water. They're not here right now, but anyway. So, you can see I drink my Topo Chicas. You know why I drink sparkling water? I drink sparkling water because it's harder for people to, when I'm traveling to these other countries, if you have bottled water, it's easy for them to just fill it from the tap. So at one point, I started drinking sparkling water because it's harder for people to do that. And then I just got used to drinking it.
Oh,
That's,
that makes sense. Yeah, because you
yeah.
protect yourself. That's a safety mechanism. That makes a lot of sense. I can't do
Yeah.
that.
So that's my
Well,
only frou-frou thing I do is sparkling water and coffee.
thank you. So you're always so much fun to talk to, even though this is a really serious topic. I enjoy talking to you. Thank you so much, Michael. I'm going to have you back on a continuous basis. And again, you're at Substack. I'll have the link below. And you're a must follow. I mean, just flat out, people need to follow you. And especially now as all this is heating up. And I see it as I think we're really in dangerous times. It's very
Huge.
serious.
Keep in mind, Taiwan is very important to the United States. Very important. While we sail our aircraft carriers, that Taiwan is important because a lot of the manufacturing that we need is there. This is global fight, right? And so we focus on the dramas of that Israel always, Sagiman, bad luck girlfriend, always brings to us. It distracts us from very serious matters.
That's
And
right.
it burns our moral capital around the world. We have burned our moral capital to the ground.
We can't support somebody doing genocide. That's burned your moral capital.
Huge, huge. And yeah, so anyway, thank you for having me on. I
Thank you,
appreciate it.
Michael. Appreciate it.